goalkeeper against goalkeeper here for a 3-1 lead for victory. And he thumps it into the back of the net. Everything he touches turns to gold. And Paul is out of it. Fifth and final City penalty. Diego.
The wall was hoisted on the shoulders of the skipper at the end of the game. Sorry, Jimmy Jago. Sorry, Kel Talbot. And sorry, Terry Antonis. You're not getting there, Paul. You're not getting it past the great wall of Izzo into that onion bag on that occasion. Our man joins us. Chat with mates. Thanks to Mate Internet and Mobile. $20 off for 5 months with Mate Internet. Paul Izzo, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are speaking to a legend of the Melbourne Victory organisation after what he did for this team the other night. Paul, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks, guys. Cheers for having me again.
Mate, how much is that the most fun a keeper can have? Big game, knockout final, you know, derby, penalty shootout. It's all everyone's
spotlight on you.
Everyone's looking at you. Is that and then you stand up and deliver the way you did. Is it the most fun a keeper can have?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, as a young kid, they're the moments you dream of, and, you know, just felt like, honestly, it was one of those nights where the script was going to play perfectly, and, you know, it turned out how it did. So, yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
It was awesome.
Paul, I can imagine that there's some nerves, you know, things start to tighten up because of what's at stake, but were they the most tightest? When you're trying to save them or when you're trying to kick it?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not sure, to be honest. It's a tough question. I tried my best to keep as calm and collected as possible. I didn't want, you know, the adrenaline was just pumping like crazy. And, you know, I didn't want to do anything stupid that I was going to look like an idiot. So I had to keep myself under control and pretty calm. And at the end of the day, and shoot out, the pressure's on the taker. It's not on the goalkeeper, so... Yeah.
We were just having a chat about this before you came on, and I was asking Gazy, and neither of us know this, Paul, you definitely do. How does it feel to stick one past the rival keeper?
Oh, look, at the time, you know, it was pretty intense, but it was an odd feeling being in the opposite end. It's probably what helped me because, you know, I was looking for cues where, you know, usually I'm looking for them in a striker, so... No, honestly, it did feel quite comfortable, but would I do it again? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Struck it well.
When you struck it, was it a predetermined, well, this is what I'm going to do? I might sort of dance around and try and give him a head fake that I might be going somewhere else. But did you have options with the kick, or do you wait to read what the goalie's doing? How did it all play out in your mind?
Well, at training a couple of days prior, we were practicing some pens, and I was taking a few, and I was hitting them like perfect. Like, I couldn't believe how good I was hitting them.
Nice.
And then, came the game. The boss was like, you're taking one, you're number three. I was like, shit, all right, no worries. and then, I text my mate as well. I was like, oh, if I take a penalty, like, I'm going top right. Just watch.
You know? Right.
And then I think I gave it away so much, like, I was so easy to read. You know, lucky I looked up in the last minute and saw, you know, the keeper was moving, and, you know, I just went to the other side.
So take us in. We hear the stories, you know, in pregame planning. If it comes to this, you know which way Terry Antonis goes, and you know which way. How much of that is the fact? How much of that is predetermined? They like going to the right or left-hand side, and you play it, you know, according to the study that you've done on each player that steps up.
To be honest, like, I wish I could say I knew where everyone was going, but it's honestly like poker between the two of us. Like, we're just trying to call each other's bluff up until the last minute. You know, I had information and video on their penalties, and, you know, you look for trends and habits that they do and see if you can pick up anything. But I think in a penalty shootout, a lot of that goes out of the window with all the pressure and the scrutiny and all that. So, you know, you use as much of the information you've gathered as you can, but it's more gut instinct when it comes to that final step before he hits the ball. That's, the decision I tend to choose.
Yeah, right.
And homework, I guess.
Yeah.
And what about the mind games? Is there little subtle things you might be doing to the kicker to get them off or get them thinking about it, or do you just play it pretty straight up?
Oh, I'd love to tell you, but I mean, I don't want to reveal anything in case, you know, people start to figure me out. So
okay,
there's definitely a lot of mind games going on, and there's definitely a lot of little cues that, you know, we'll try to do that we discuss before game with the goalkeeper coach and assistant coaches. And yeah, but there's a lot that goes into it that maybe the public don't see. Yeah,
is there really a story about City's goalkeeper Jamie Young's water bottle? Is this a true story?
Yeah, unfortunately it is. But I mean, look, it had to be done.
Tell us what happened.
What's the story?
Tell us what happened.
No, I just remember we're walking over to the goal, and I noticed he was carrying a lot of stuff in his hand, like he had a towel and a bottle and this and that. And like, it didn't, you know, faze me at the start. And then, like, after the first penalty was taken, I was walking out of the box and I noticed it, and I just had a look in the bottle, and there was a list of every player in our squad with the direction they're going, this and that. And I was like,
whoa.
Well, what am I supposed to do now that I've seen this, you know?
Right.
So, unfortunately, I had to launch it into Rose Ed. And our fans are pretty good at hiding that as well. And then I even shook out the towel and I found another piece of paper in there, and I was like, man, why? Like, it wasn't doing it in bad intentions. Like, I'm just trying to...
Yeah, win. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
No, of course.
Yeah, it's
tennis. Now, next up, we've got a two-leg series against the Phoenix. Now, they've been very good this season as well. Actually, how do we go against them this year?
Yeah, we've had two draws and we've lost. So this season they've had, you know, the upper hand against us. But, you know, in the two draws, they're two games that we felt were probably the better side. Mm. But in saying that, you know, we didn't get the win and they did. So, you know, at the end of the day, they say they're the better side, and rightly so. But we're going into these next two games not arrogant, but I think very confident that we can do something and get the job done.
Yeah.
So you're going to lose Zinedine. So he's out by virtue of that red card. How's the squad? I mean, you've had to play that extra game and they've been sitting back having a look. How's the squad shaping up for this one?
Yeah, look, I know they had a week off and, you know, we're probably a bit battered and bruised from playing 120 minutes. But I think, you know, the momentum we've gained, I guess, from the previous game we just had, you know, it's really going to help us, and it might put some nerves into them. I don't know, but yeah, look, it's a great opportunity for some players who came off the bench that night, who really stepped up and played a massive role in us getting a result. So yeah, I look forward to seeing what the boss does, because I know, you know, a lot of players are going to get an opportunity now.
Hey, this week, it's a unfortunate timing for all this, but there's been a lot of talk about the APL and the funds that they're going to be able to distribute to the clubs. Is that something you've got to purposely try and stay away from to not get distracted of what's at hand? Because there has been quite a bit of reporting about it.
Yeah, look, it's unfortunately a common trend with the A-League when, you know, something so good and special happens that bad news is literally just right around the corner. But, you know, look, that's completely out of our hands as players. And, you know, we're just trying our best to put on, you know, what's the most exciting time of year, which is finals time. So, you know, the more eyes we get on games during this period, I mean, the only better things can come from that for next season, I guess.
Yeah. And I hear people who, you know, watch it week in, week out and consume, you know, game upon game of the A-League, Paul, and they are convinced and they are so happy to tell you that the best that we see in the A-League this year is as good as anything the league in the men's game has ever produced. Do you share that view? At the very highest point of the football being produced in the A-League this year, is it of that kind of quality?
No, I completely agree. I mean, like, I mean, as rough as it's been off the pitch, I think, for the A-League, I think on the pitch as players and, you know, coaches as well, I think we're really playing a part in helping to try at least maintain the game, at least in the country, to a high standard. And, you know, that's showing by the amount of young talents that you've seen come out of the game this season, like your Aaron Kunders and so on. So, I mean, look, I know it seems all doom and gloom, but I think the product on the pitch is at least entertaining for fans.
Hey, and last one,
sure.
Last one from me before we let you go. I don't know whether you got up early this morning to watch any of the Champions League, but PSG are out now. Dortmund have knocked them out.
Mm. I don't think they can afford Mbappe.
No, I don't think Mbappe's coming to victory.
No, I don't think he's coming.
But I don't know whether you saw it this morning, Paul, but they hit the crossbar, or they hit the frame six times in this game. Can you remember a game as a keeper where you've been beat, you know, you've been beaten by, but the ball just keeps hitting the woodwork?
Well, not entirely like that, but I've definitely had games where I've had defenders who are basically doing the job of me. plenty of times this season, Damian De Silva and Roddy Moran have done that job for me as well. So, yeah.
It was amazing stuff, as was your win last weekend, mate. Good luck on Sunday. Saturday. Good luck on Saturday against Wellington. We wish all the very best. And, you know, with you on the last line, they got a chance. There's no question about that. So congratulations last weekend and all the very best with what's just around the corner.
No, thanks a lot.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, Paul.
Paul Izzo joining us for Mate Internet and Mobile.